Let's sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for our weekly catch-up and a couple of topics to get through today. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. Nice to speak to you again.
Looking back to last year, first of all, Matt, the 8th of September, they announced the sad passing of Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II at Balmoral Castle in Scotland. And, it's pertinent across the world. You know, the loss, I think, was felt globally and indeed within RNIB, as the Queen herself was a patron for the charity for many, many years and indeed very active within the charity as well.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I think we all can't believe it's been a year since the Queen died. You know, I remember the week she did die last year, I'd just written a note to the palace and, you know, to the Queen at Balmoral, just giving her an update on how the RNIB was doing, a brief one-pager, because she was always interested in keeping, you know, up to speed with what was going on at the RNIB. And I remember 2 days before the news of her death, I got a very nice sort of note back from one of the equerries from Balmoral thanking me for the note and saying how pleased the Queen was to hear about how the RNIB was faring. And then 2 days later, clearly we got the news that she died. So I think everyone's reflecting a year on. I think people a year on probably realise how much that she's missed actually in UK society. I think people are reflecting on the service she gave to the country over 70 plus years on the throne. For us, we are the RNIB, the Royal National Institute of Blind People, and she was a very active patron, you know, from when she acceded to the throne and took over that patronage from her father, George VI. You know, she was a great patron for the RNIB, very interested, attended a lot of exhibitions and sessions and visited our headquarters and engaged with a whole host of sort of materials, gadgets and technology. You know, was interested in communications materials, braille and large font print materials. And we have, you know, a very rich archive, and we have it out in our new London headquarters. You know, we have a sort of static display of a lot of sort of mementos from the Queen visiting the RNIB. And I think she helped raise visual impairment, sight loss as an issue in UK society during her reign by her patronage, a very visible patronage of the RNIB. And we appreciated that enormously. So, you know, it was our very somber privilege to pay that tribute to her last year. And a year on, I think, you know, we like many people in UK society, reflect on her contribution and realise how much she brought to the country and to the RNIB.
An active patron, as you say, Matt, you know, took a great interest in what we do and in sight loss in general. In terms of the patronage then, what happens now? I know it's been probably an ongoing process since then. What's the next stage? Are there any updates on that? Who will be taking that over?
We've been in communication with the palace and King's staff appropriately. I think, like many charities, we've had the late Queen as a patron. I think she was patron of about 700 charities. Clearly, there's a bit of work to do to work out where those patronages go, you know, whether the King picks them all up or whether, as he's looking at the working royal family, they are picked up by others. So we've been in contact with the palace a few times over the year just to make sure we're keeping those lines of communication open. And, you know, we've got a cordial relationship with the palace. You know, the royal involvement in the RNIB this year has continued. So as the listeners know, I think when we opened our new London office in June, the Duchess of Edinburgh, who came and opened it and spent 90 minutes very engaged with a variety of RNIB sort of staff, volunteers, trustees, some of our corporate partners who've helped us along the way, a cup of tea with a number of our beneficiaries, and had a very, very engaging, positive, happy hour and a half with us, lifting the curtain on the plaque, you know, to open the building officially. So we've still, you know, got very cordial, very strong relationships with the royal family, and we just wait to hear on who the new patron is.
Let's move on, Matt. We've got time just to discuss another topic, and it's collaborative working. You know, we talk about charities pulling together, working together. I suppose during lockdown, a lot of charities turned to each other for support, that synergy of voices when campaigning and lobbying for their customers as well. And that, again, that continues.
Linking back to the previous bit of the conversation, you know, the Queen was incredibly supportive of the RNIB and very interested in the work that the RNIB did over many years, you know, to support visually impaired people. I think she'd be pleased to see, as you just said, the relations, the very strong relations and the strong sector that's come together in recent years to tackle or to help bringing the collective weight to bear on some of the challenges of COVID and now the cost of living crisis. And so we've got a very vibrant sector group of eight of the bigger charities, with ourselves and Guide Dogs probably being the two biggest, but very strong contribution from the others, from TPT and Blind Veterans and Glaucoma, Retina, Macular and the Visionary Society, which represents some of the smaller societies up and down the country. And that's a powerful group coming together. You know, we have a lot of energy, you know, resources we can bring to bear collectively. And we work together on a variety of things. Initially, as you said, making sure our COVID response was good, but now working on a variety of things from the eye care pathway, working with the health service, through to setting up the first sort of hub of data and insight from the sector to use as a repository for people to find information out and do research. We're doing a lot together on things like employment and technology. And I think we're seeing that the whole, you know, can be greater than the sum of the parts when we collectively come together as a group.
You mentioned Visionary in there, Matt, of course, as you say, representing many of the smaller charities at the grassroots level, if you like. So, you know, not just the larger charities here, you know, the smaller ones really having a voice and a place at the table as well for that collective response. Because, you know, the large charities like RNIB and Guide Dogs, I suppose, when it comes to things like, you know, political pressure, campaigning and things like that, there's a real might there. With the smaller charities, again, you know, there's local influence and, you know, they're, I suppose, the ear to the ground as well. So having this group coming together really does, as you say, you know, use the word collective, it really brings that to the fore.
Yeah, it does. And as you say, you know, not every organisation is the same size. We all have different sort of strengths and weaknesses, different resources to bring. You know, we're in a lucky position, along with Guide Dogs, probably being the two biggest charities, you know, with breadth and depth of activity and resource. But I think what's been a good thing in this relationship actually is using that capability wisely and in a supported way. So we've been variously running sessions for some of the smaller societies on things like cybersecurity, fundraising, social media tips, you know, all the things where it's difficult in a small society to have every angle sort of covered. But some of these things like cyber and what you do in social media, you know, are incredibly important for all organizations. But as you just said, it's a two-way street. So there's a lot of local intelligence and knowledge that comes back up through those more formal sessions, as I just said, or through some of the more informal channels coming back up through the leadership in Visionaries, Fiona Sanford, Charles Cahoon from TPT particularly, and you know, making sure, you know, that intelligence is sort of fed into the broader group. So, you know, it does work in two directions.
Matt, we're out of time at the moment, but if anyone would like to learn more about the topics we've been discussing or to find out more about RNIB and its services, do have a look at the website, rnib.org.uk. The helpline is also there. You can chat to someone on 0303 123 9999 and on your Amazon Echo devices, just ask to call RNIB's helpline. Matt, that's it for this week. We will catch up once again, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, thank you, Alan. My pleasure, and look forward to speaking to you next week.